a little standalone lesson that the Lord kind of put on my heart as a result of a conversation I was having with one of my friends the other day, and just a word that he used in the conversation, and I'll tell you about that in just a minute. Luke chapter number 15. Now, this is a familiar chapter here. This is Jesus telling the parable that was given in three parts about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And look with me, if you would, at verse number 11. The Bible's in Jesus, and he said, beginning here, a certain man had two sons. So he's already told the part about the sheep, already told the part about the coin. And so a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. He divided unto them his living. Now, you won't find, I want to speak to you, just talk a little bit tonight about how to avoid prodigalism. Now, you won't find the word prodigalism in the Bible. And in fact, you won't find it in the dictionary either. Prodigalism. It's a made-up term that I believe those who are familiar with this parable understand. The truth is, you won't find the word prodigal in the Bible. You know that in the Bible, we all have come to understand that term in connection with the boy in this story. I am guessing the word prodigal was kind of used and got associated with it from the definition of the word. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines prodigal as given to extravagant expenditures, expending money or other things without necessity, profuse, lavish, wasteful, not frugal or economical. And I am guessing that that part of the definition, the word wasteful, is what kind of associated the term prodigal with this boy in Luke chapter 15. Prodigal was assigned to him because he was a waster. He was a waster. It is actually Brother Woodward in my conversation with him who used the word prodigalism. And seeing that everything today is an ism in our world, I thought, yeah, that's a good word. So it's not a disease, though. We know that. But prodigalism. And as parents, we want to avoid prodigalism among our children. We don't want them to become prodigal or prodigals. Okay, we do not want them to waste what they have been given by God in the way of the training and the teaching and the modeling that God has brought into their life. As parents, we don't want to participate in things that might contribute to our kids' prodigalism. Now, in this story, you know, the father is presented as a picture of God the Father. And truthfully, the father is a good picture of God the Father. The father watches and he waits for the boy to come home. And when the boy does return home, the father runs to meet him and receives him with open arms. And you know the rest of the story. And that is a great picture of our Heavenly Father. But if we just look at the story on a horizontal plane, not a vertical plane, but look at the story on a horizontal plane from a human viewpoint, there are a couple of things in play here within the family relationship that probably most of us wouldn't want to practice with our children. Here's a story about a family with two boys, neither of whom really turned out the way we would want our kids to turn out. Now, the one who went off gets most of the notoriety. But the boy that stayed home had issues as well. You know that. You've heard messages on that. So the question, how do parents contribute to prodigalism? Is there anything this dad did on a human level that did not help in his son's making the poor decisions, you know, trying to help his son avoid those poor decisions? Now, in the end, the son had to choose for himself. We get that. And people, as badly as parents desire their children to avoid becoming prodigals, prodigalism, they cannot make that choice for any of their kids. The kids have to make it. Now, with that in mind, the last thing we as parents want to do is contribute to our children making a choice of becoming a prodigal or, as the definition is, a waster. So did this father do anything that did not help to avoid prodigalism?
couple of things I want to point out to you tonight in the story. You probably already know what I'm going to say. Number one, the father gave his son what he wanted. In verse number 12, the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portions of goods, the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. Two words that every parent should be on guard for from their children are the words, "Give me." Give me. If those words are allowed to be used consistently by the child, and if those words result in the child getting what they ask for over and over and over again, that's going to be unhealthy for the child's character. This boy got what he... It seems as if he said, "Dad, give me," and the father did. Now, the Bible says the father gave them. So he gave half to this boy and half to the other boy, and this boy's the one that wasted it. All right? In this instance, the boy asked for that which he believed he was entitled to receive. Give me what is coming to me. Give me what, give me my portion. And I tell you what, so that type of asking, that entitlement type asking, should never be rewarded by receiving. Never should be. And I'm going to tell you, you know, some parents just can't say no to their kids. Just can't say no. You've seen it in the store. I know you've seen it in the store. You know, you're in Walmart or one of these stores, and here's a, you know, a couple shopping with a couple of small children, or a mother or a dad shopping with a couple of children. Daddy, you hear them in the aisle. You know, "Daddy, I want that." "No, we're not going to get it." Pitch a fit and scream and holler. And they just can't say no to their children. And you know what? Kids are not stupid. I think kids pick up on that. I think kids, you know, learn, man, they pick up on this almost like it's a weakness in a parent. When they realize they can get what they want by asking for it, they will abuse that to no end. I don't know if this ever happened to those of you whose kids are already grown now or your kids are older. But, you know, we would go to a house sometimes, maybe even be making a visit somewhere. And the next thing I know, here is one of my children with some item in their hand. And it's either a food item or a knick-knack or something. And, you know, where did you get that? "Well, so-and-so gave it to me." You know, the man or the woman at the house, or maybe one of the older teenagers at the house. "Did you ask for it?" And then the look, they don't have to say anything. The look gives it away immediately. And it's that look that's, you know, that... You can see where the brain is warp speed trying to come up with a good answer to that question. Did you ask for it? Or they're trying to, you know, something that to plead their case. And, you know, so, you know, and once in a while they would say no. Then I would find out that yes, indeed, they did ask for it, because I would go ask the person, "Did they ask for it?" And, you know, people are always, you know, "Well, it's okay. That's a dead giveaway. Yes, they asked for it." And if they lied to me, well, that meant, you know, discipline. That meant punishment, okay? But, you know, "Oh, it's okay. I don't mind if they have it." That's not the point. Children should not get in the habit of asking for things. Asking for things. Now, people, look, if it's a fairly good sign that our child feels comfortable asking a semi-stranger for something, they're probably asking at home. Because if they're comfortable asking a semi-stranger for something, it's probably because they're asking at home all the time. "Mommy, will you get this for me? Daddy, can I have one of those?" You know, our children do not need a piece of candy every time they ask for one. They don't need that. You know, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure they need to eat every time they're hungry. I mean, it's amazing to me. Now, one of our kids' families, if the kids are hungry, they eat. Now, there's 11 kids in his family. They put the food on the table at breakfast, lunch, and supper. And that was it. You ate what you got there, and don't ask for anything else because there is nothing else. Because how would you like to feed 11 kids on an electrician's salary in Philadelphia? And so, you know, but I don't know if we were overboard in not letting them eat when they want. I do remember one time I came home and the kids were in bed. It was like some early hour, like 6:15. Was that what it was or something like that? And I said, where are the kids? She said, I put them in bed. She said, what'd you do that for? She said, well, they were bad. I said, well, did they have supper? She said, no. I put them to bed without supper. I said, no, they're not. We're not sending our kids to bed without supper. So I made her go get them up out of bed. We got them out and we fed them. Okay. So everybody looks at the dad as the mean old ogre. Sometimes it's you moms who are the ones that are the toughest. Okay. And so we got them out of bed and fed them. But I don't think we constantly, mom, can I have, mom, can I eat, mom, can I get, mom, can, mom, dad. They don't need something every time they ask for it. Okay? We got to be careful about that. You understand the context, and you understand the context. Look, if they fall down, you know, cut themselves up, they're bleeding profusely, they're crying, they come to you, mommy, can, you know, no, I can't do anything because pastor said don't give you what you ask for, okay? Please, you know, we're not talking about that silliness, okay? But if parents, if we are not careful, we can create an on-demand mentality in our kids. I want it, I ask for it, I get it. And I will tell you, that's not helpful. And you don't ever want to give your kids something that they're crying for. I want it. They're whining or they're pouting. No. And again, if they're hurt, that's different. You understand the context in which I am saying don't give them what they want just because they're asking for it. Don't ever give them anything when they are pitching a fit, you know, just to get them to be quiet. There's something that you can give them that will quiet them. It may be a little bit noisy at the first, but in the end, it results in great peace and quietness and instruction in righteousness. And there is something you can give them, okay? So be careful about that. Be careful about giving. Be on guard for the give me mentality. That give me mentality is a lazy mentality. It's lazy mentality. This is the child that wants everything done for them. They're too lazy to do anything on their own. They're too lazy to earn anything on their own. Dress me, feed me, pick up my toys for me. When are you going to give me what's coming to me? You can't give into that. But they're cute. I know they're cute. But if you're rearing with a give me mentality when they're 15 and 18, it won't be cute. And when they can't provide for their own family in their 20s, it really won't be cute. So you've got to be careful, folks. Remember what the Bible says about Adonijah? Adonijah was one of David's sons. And the Bible says about Adonijah that David never displeased him. Think about that statement. David never displeased him. When we say no to our children, you know what we're doing? We're displeasing them. David never did that. And I don't know all the cases. I just know what the Bible says. David never displeased him. So maybe through all those years growing up, every time Adonijah wanted something, give me. David gave him, didn't punish him, just didn't deal with him. And one day, Adonijah took the throne when David was weak. So you got to be careful about the give me mentality. Look at verse number 19. Here is the mentality that will go places with children. And the Bible says, and Amnon, he's talking to himself now, and he's in the hog pen, and I'll pick it up at the end of his conversation with himself. And am no more worthy. This is what he's going to tell his dad. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I'll tell you what, make me is a lot better than give me. Make me. This is after he was humbled by the circumstances of his ignorance. That's a far better request. And parents, guard against the development of the give me mentality. It teaches the child that he can just get or she can get what he wants for himself or herself by asking. Don't give them everything they ask for. I'm not suggesting that any of you are. It just jumped out to me. This boy asked and dad gave. On a human level, on a horizontal plane, looking at this story, why would it, folks, there's a reason why they put money in trust funds for kids whose parents die in some kind of accident and the kids are 9 or 10 years of age and there was life insurance money and there was all that. Now, and they put that in a trust fund and they don't let the child touch it until they're, 18 or so? There's a reason for that. You give that kind of, what are the chances of giving a 10 or 12 year old tens of hundreds of thousands of dollars and having them not wasted. They'll probably waste it. All right? So we have to be careful that we don't rear our kids with a give-me mentality. Just every time they want something, give it to them. That they will become wasters if we do that. But then there's something else. There's a second thing. A couple of things. The first one is, you know, the father gave him what he asked for. And then number two, I see it in the story here. The father failed to teach his son the value of things. You see that in verse number 12, because as soon as he got the goods, he wasted them. Okay? And it goes on, it tells us that in verse number 13. He wasted his substance with riotous living. But look at what he says. Look at the wording here. Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Isn't that an interesting way to put it? See, anything that falls to us potentially is a liability to us. When it falls to us, things that fall to us are very likely to be wasted. That's exactly what happened to the prodigal son. His dad earned this money. His dad saved this money, put this money aside, and gave it to him. It fell to him. He wasted the things that fell to him because it's very difficult to rightly appreciate the value of something that falls to us. It is much easier to appreciate the value of something that you work for, that you earn through effort. That's why, you know, I was always glad that Brother Mick had these, when it came to missions trips, Brother Mick had these teen auction nights where the kids would work. They would make a pie. They would make a meal. They would work some hours at our houses if we chose to do that. Instead of just handing them the money to go on the missions trip, that doesn't help anybody. Money, things that fall to us, if we're not careful, we will waste them. So we have to be diligent in teaching our children the value of things. And if you earn it, if you work for it, you'll appreciate it. You'll be far less likely to waste it. And that needs to start with the little things. People, those of you with young children at home, several young couples here tonight, young children at home, teach them the value of little things. If a child is taught to properly value little things, more than likely it will transfer to the big things. But they got to be taught to value the little things. Don't allow your children to be wasters. Wasters when it comes to things. I've said before, you need to make them pick up and care. When they're little, make them pick up and care for their toys. Make them pick up and care for their toys. You know, folks, look, this thing of just, you know, you hand them a baseball glove, you hand them a baseball bat, you hand them a bicycle, you hand them a doll, you hand them all these toys, things, and you come home at night and they're laying out in the grass. That shouldn't be allowed. Shouldn't be allowed. It didn't happen often. It was rare, but it happened more than on one occasion. If I had been out visiting, if I'd been at the church late, I come home, it's dark. Sometimes it was cold, sometimes it was summer, and I look in the backyard and here's three or four items left in the backyard. I did get them out of bed and say, go pick up your toys. Go pick them up. I made them get up. Go bring the bike in to the shed. Go bring the glove into the baseball glove into the garage. Look, you don't throw things around. That's just wasteful. So teach them to pick up and take care of their toys, even inside the house, okay? Have them save money for some item they would like to have. Instead of just going out, buying it, and giving it to them, have them save some money. Let them earn a few dollars around the house. Let them earn 50 cents around the house. You don't have to make them rich. The harder they work for what little pay you give them and they start adding it up, it will teach them, wow. When they finally go to the store and purchase that item, they're looking at something, they're holding something in their hand that they had to do some extra cleaning. They had to empty the garbage an extra time. They had to do something around the house to earn it. It means so much more to them. Here's something else, how to value things. Teach them to be thankful when others give them things. This is a day and age of unthankfulness. That's in the Bible. It's in the Bible in Romans chapter 1. We talked about it Thanksgiving week. It's in the Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's a day and age of unthankfulness. Look, how much time, how much work does it take to sit down with your child, a pen or pencil, maybe just crayons if they can't write letters yet, and just draw a picture and have them give it to somebody if somebody was generous by giving them something. You know, it doesn't hurt that. That's not much time. That's not much effort. And it teaches them to be thankful. Instead of stuff just falling to them. Stuff just falling to them. It'd be interesting to go through your kid's toy box. See how much of that was just bought and given. By ourselves, by others. Just bought and given. So you got all this stuff. There's no thankfulness. There's no taking care of it. It's just wasted because we don't teach them the value of things. The value of things. And I want to say this. You know, destruction for destruction purposes only should not be tolerated. Now, kids are going to make it. They're going to have accidents. They're going to drop things, break things. We had everybody at Thanksgiving, everybody, Ben and the family. And that was on the, whatever day Thanksgiving was, the 25th or something like that, 26th. And Ian's birthday was 2 days earlier. He turned eight, I think. He turned 8 years of age. Huh? Nine? I don't know. Eight or nine. He's that age. And so we had a little birthday party in conjunction with our Thanksgiving dinner after it was all over. And he got a few gifts from his cousins and stuff. And he got this neat little toy thing. And one of the other boy cousins was playing with it and shake. It had to be shaken. And I mean, the thing wasn't 10 minutes old. And it fell out of the boy cousin's hand, hit the floor, and broke into pieces. And that was not on purpose. That's an accident. Be careful about punishing your kids for accidents. Accidents. When I was a young father, it used to gripe me to no end when the kids would knock a glass of water, milk, or tea over at the table. How often did that happen? Every time we sat down to eat. And twice if she had just mopped the floor. Ladies, tell me if that's not uncanny. As soon as you mop that kitchen floor, bow, there it goes. It's uncanny how it happens. And I used to fly off the handle, and I did that one time in Kelowna, Iowa, at my father-in-law's place, and I'm sure it was probably Ben, knocked over the glass. That kid, he would walk down the sidewalks this way. That's how he walked. He'd run into post. Just run into him. I just let him. One of these days you'll figure this out. You'll watch where you're going. And I flew off the handle, and my father-in-law, if you've ever been around, some of you have been around him, and he just, that's what he does. Terry. That's the worst thing that ever happens to your son. You'll be a happy man. All right, thank you. I thought grandparents were supposed to keep their mouth shut. When it came to the children, evidently not. But anyway, accidents happen. They're going to get torn up. They're going to get broken by accident. But I want to tell you something. When something has been destroyed on purpose, that needs to be dealt with. Destruction for destruction purposes. And boys can do that. They just tear stuff up. Just tear it up. Why'd you do that? I don't know. Just tore it up. Just, okay, you know what? You're gonna work. You're going to pick up sticks. You're going to rake leaves. You're going to do what you got to do to earn some money to replace the item. Okay? So, and I know this may sound little, but don't let them waste food, folks. Don't let them waste food. You know, teach them the value. That food item was purchased with somebody's hard-earned dollars. Now, don't go overboard like me, okay? But I was raised with a grandmother that would not let us leave the table. Somehow she usurped authority over Mom and would not let us leave the table unless our plates were clean. And that has stuck with me, and now what? This right here is from cleaning the plates of all the grandkids and stuff. When I can't stand to see food thrown away. I can't stand it. You're going to laugh at this. My wife just shakes her head. She's learned just to be quiet, you know. What's she going to do? Hershey's chocolate syrup, you know. That's good stuff. Right? It's not cheap, right? I mean, if you got a house that's a warm-hearted house, you got Hershey's chocolate syrup and somewhere in your house. And remember, it used to come in the round cans? So here's this bottle in the trash can. I looked at it, and I picked it up, and that's not empty. So I said to my wife, I said, "You got a funnel?" She got me. She already knew. She just didn't say anything. I got the milk out, man, poured it in the funnel down it. Got the lid on there, shook it all up. I had a whole glass of chocolate milk last night after soul winning. Delicious. I got it out of the garbage can. I know. But, and you're going to leave tonight thinking, nuts. But I suppose there's other things I've wasted, it was just, we didn't waste. And now, boys, in India, there are thousands of children that don't have anything. Did you ever get that at your house? China, the Chinese and the Indians, and the Africans once in a while. Mercy days. But anyway, that's... Esther, was it that bad over there in Mozambique? You had food, you didn't have food? But my grandmother thought you were starving. But sir, on the other hand, don't let them waste. You have to teach them. I think that's an interesting word. Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And when it fell to him, what did he do with it? Wasted. Every bit of it. Now look, these just some simple suggestions about how to avoid rearing a prodigal. Obviously, there's a lot of spiritual elements of rearing children, although I wouldn't call these necessarily unspiritual. Being thankful is pretty spiritual. And taking care of things isn't really unspiritual. But you understand what I'm saying. There's a lot more that goes into the elements that go into the rearing of children and avoiding prodigalism. The father did everything right when his son came home. It was right to receive him back. The son was repentant. He was humble. Dad did right, threw a party for him. This is wonderful. But more importantly, people, it's better to do as much right as possible so that we don't have to receive them back from the far country. And we want to try to avoid contributing to prodigalism. They'll stand on their own two feet for the choices they make or don't make. But as parents, we don't want to contribute in any way, shape, or form to anything that might encourage them, if you let me say it that way, to be a prodigal. Don't give them everything they ask for. And teach them to respect the value of things. The value of things. I bet you there's a bunch of you men that somewhere around your house, you got something that you've had since you were a boy. And you value that. And you've taken care of it for all these years. And that's all I'm talking about. Teaching our children not to be wasters. Okay, let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help us with the rearing of our children. It's exciting to me to think of 60-something kids across the parking lot last week. I don't know how many tonight, but Lord, I just pray that you would help parents, especially of young children in the room, to help their children to do the best they can to help their children to avoid being a prodigal. Lord, I pray that we won't grow wasters here at the church, wasters in our homes. Help us to teach them that they don't get everything they ask for. And Lord, help us to teach them the value of things and help them to see how much it means, how much more it means to just earn something rather than be given it. We have a society that is saturated with the give me entitlement mentality. And I pray that you'd help us not to be a part of that. In Christ's name, amen.